This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk.
I would say that I feel like a completely different person than I was over a year ago now. In so many amazing ways. You know, I love myself a little bit more. My life is so much more consistent and I show up for things, I show up for people a lot more. I'm a lot less selfish. I've made some wonderful friends, lifelong friends, and every part of my life has just got better. So why would I go back to that? You know, just by giving up one thing, I've gained so much.
You know, we always absolutely love it on Over the Influence when we get to speak to a community member. That was just a little snippet there from this week's guest. He's called Mikey. He's based in London. He's approaching 400 days alcohol free. There's a theme throughout this week's episode, and it's to do with the letter C. In order to find out what it's all about, you'll have to keep listening. Mikey's got so much good stuff to share. Let's get right in to this week's episode.
Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, I'm Laura. I am a community member of OTI. I've been here since I was 34 days alcohol free. I'm now 8 months, and that is probably mostly down to OTI. The community, that support that you get through doing the Zooms. I do a few a week. I post in the forum and interact in the forum as well. I've made some amazing friends. I wasn't what you would call an alcoholic, but I definitely felt like life was becoming unimaginable without alcohol. Every weekend was about going for drinks, having drinks with a meal, that sort of thing. And I just hated that control that alcohol was starting to have over me. So I started to question it, started listening to the podcast. Before I knew it, I joined the community. And I really didn't realise how much of a hold alcohol had until I stopped doing it. Being part of OTI helps me to navigate life without alcohol, and that's as simple as I can put it, really. I would urge anyone to join the community.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to this week's episode of Over the Influence. It's ace to have you listening. If you have just completed maybe a full dry month, and it might be the first time you've done this in a very long time, well, the first thing to say is big up your bad self, flipping well done. And if it's going well, and if you thought, you know what, I'm quite enjoying these benefits that are starting to come, just consider sticking with it. You know, have a go at doing February, maybe see through till March. Then before you know it, you might be at that tipping figure, that magic number of 100 days alcohol free. And if you're discovering us for the first time, welcome. Really good to have you listening. My name is Sharon Hartley, based in Lancashire in the northwest of England. I am now in my 7th year of sobriety. This year I will be 7 years alcohol free, which it sounds mad. It still sounds absolutely crazy. And I'm so glad I took that decision back in the summer of 2018 to try a break from booze. It wasn't part of some big, massive, sober plan. It's all sort of happened accidentally, and it's been a really nice accident. We love sharing about it. We love singing about sobriety. It's why this podcast exists. I'm 51 years old, got 3 kids. Youngest is 16. The older two are now in the 20s. What else can I tell you? I drank too much, too quickly, and far too often, and now I don't. And it really is the gift that keeps on giving. I tried to keep that brief and failed, Ben. Resolutions aren't going well.
No, okay, I'll do it short. Hi, I'm Ben, I'm Shaz's mate. 5 years alcohol free in the summer. Right,
there we go. That is brilliant. Come on, give us a bit more.
I'll do a bit more. I am stepdad to Elfie and Millie. I'm dad to baby Leo. I'm married to Jem. And I started off by going 3 months off, and then I'll go back to it. And then I got 3 months, and then extended it to six, and extended it to 12. And then when I got to 12 months, I looked back and thought, you're a better all-round person without alcohol in your veins. So I removed it completely, and yes, it'll be 5 years in the summer. These are my favourite episodes, Sharon, not just because it's a community member that we're talking to today, but because Mikey's a young man and you're about to go all auntie
Shaz. Yeah, I mean, I might do it straight away.
Reach through the Zoom screen and squeeze his cheeks. Grab his cheeks. And I love it because it's always that kind of moment of, are they going to politely laugh through as Shaz goes into auntie Shaz mode, or will they just leave the call? We'll find out. You've got a better intro than that for Mikey, because he's a fabulous community member and someone we've spent a lot of time with on mountainsides as well. We've had a great laugh with Shaz. Go on,
yeah, and you know what, I think Mikey's quite used to me now. Mikey from London, who is this week's guest, is a community member, but Mikey joined us, we reckon, about 18 months ago ish and Mikey has been a regular on my Saturday morning Zooms at 7 o'clock in the morning. We flipping love those Zooms, don't we, Mikey? So genuinely, like, for me personally, to have you now as a guest on the podcast, sharing your story, talking all things alcohol freeness and sobriety and yoga and journaling, or wherever you want this episode to go, genuinely, I'm chuffed to bits. Welcome to Over the Influence. How are you?
Thanks very much. Yeah, as Niall's just pointed out, I'm nearly 40, so I don't think you can classify me as a young man anymore.
I don't know. Probably still caught.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing really good, thanks. This is lovely to be on here. It's a bit strange seeing you on a Tuesday evening as opposed to a Saturday morning, but yeah.
I know, and we're dressed. I mean, not that we did the Zoom calls naked, we don't. We're normally in sleepwear. We're normally in loungewear. Mikey's been in bed before now. Yeah. I've been in, like, me pyjama bottoms and me, you know, gym jam top and all the rest of it. It's ace, it's so good. How does it feel being on the other side of it now in terms of, you know, being a guest on Over the Influence as opposed to a listener, which I hope you still are, by the way?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's funny because, you know, I started listening to you last year. No, year before now. God, my maths is awful. And I thought I'd join the community at some point. Started going to a couple of Zooms. I don't really post on the forum too much, but, you know, a regular on a Saturday morning. And then, yeah, I think back in December, I was like, do you know what? I'm almost at a year. I'm just going to go for it and just see if they want to chat to me for a little bit. And you said yes.
We bit your hand off, Mikey.
Yeah, it does feel lovely. It's a bit of recognition, I suppose, for the past, you know, 12 months, 18 months, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, it's lovely to be here.
And before we get into sort of your backstory and what led you to saying, you know what, I'm going to try this, I'm going to try a life without alcohol, what difference did it make to you joining a community?
Honestly, like, night and day. So you mentioned earlier on that I do journaling and stuff. I've got journals going back to about 2016, 2017, I reckon. And even back then, I mentioned things about wanting to stop drinking or give alcohol a break, kind of the negative things that was happening to me because of alcohol. And I always tried to do it on my own, you know, white knuckle it a little bit. And joining the community, OTI, knowing that there's other people who are going through similar things, similar experiences, but celebrating positives. It's not doom and gloom, you know, having that positive slant on things has just made it so much more achievable. I wouldn't say it's been easy necessarily, but just having that support system around you with people who know what you're going through and want you to do well made all the difference. I honestly didn't think I would have made it to this far. You know, I'll be 400 days on Saturday, this coming Saturday. I wouldn't have been able to do that without the regular Saturday morning Zooms, without texting my buddy Niall, just having those connections, I suppose. And so that's true for everyone that I speak to on the community. You know, it's that support system. And we have a laugh as well. You know, it's not sitting around commiserating. It's, we genuinely have a laugh. And, you know, there's friendships that have been made since joining OTI. And it's just been surprisingly wonderful.
Mikey, we'll talk more about what alcohol-free life has given you. But I suppose my first question, what do we need to know about you as a person to understand your story and alcohol-free life?
So I don't know if you can hear my accent, but I'm actually from Liverpool originally. I can feel myself going a bit more Scouse now that I'm thinking about it. And so growing up in Liverpool, Scousers love to party. And I started drinking when I was 14. You know, every weekend with my schoolmates. Had a part-time job in my late teens, going out every weekend. Uni, got drunk. I think there was one point where we realized we'd been drinking for about 70 odd days straight at uni. And we were like, Jesus Christ, this is a lot. But about me now, so I work in education. I'm also gay, so, you know, got on the gay scene in London as well, which has its own issues.
So essentially, I mean, it's something that I can very much relate to. We're a similar age. Mm-hmm. And that idea that what you do on weekends is go out and get absolutely hammered with whatever money you've got, you just don't question that, do you? It's just that is what you do. That is, you know, in the week you do this, and at the weekends you do this in nightclubs until whatever time in the morning.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I've been a teacher for over 15 years now, and working in education, you've got this mask on all the time. You don't bring your full self to the classroom, obviously, you know, understandably so. So I think of a weekend, teachers really let down their hair because they've put the acting all week, you know, essentially. And of a weekend, they just want to get on it. And I did that for two decades. I don't know, just it's insanity.
It's wild, isn't it, when you actually stop and look back, because I have said this time after time after time, Mikey, you know, I didn't realise quite how bad it had got till I removed it. And then, you know, the clarity of hindsight, you look back and you're like, wow. Yeah. And for so many people, it's 5 years, it's 10 years, it's two decades, it's three decades, it's more. You know, we've had older guests on the pod that have said they changed their drinking habits after 50 years. I'm thinking of Raphael from The Community. That's 50 years, five decades of drinking.
Yeah.
But you did change it. When we started chatting, Mikey, you sort of alluded to the fact that you said it caused you problems. What were those problems, if you don't mind me asking, and only share, as always on this podcast, as much as you're comfortable with?
Yeah, so I think it caused me problems on like multiple levels. So, you know, in terms of just physically put myself into stupid situations after a night out, you know, I didn't do anything illegal. I don't drive, so I, you know, didn't drink, drive or anything like that. But, you know, just going to after parties with people I didn't really know, and I'll walk home, it's fine, at 5 a.m. on my own in the dark. And just stupid situations like that. But I think the biggest problem is probably mental health. So generally I have good mental health. I'm generally a pretty happy person, but any kind of bouts of anxiety or feeling really, really low have always come from alcohol. And, you know, as I've got journal entries going back years now, the day after, 2 days after a night out, just feeling like absolute death. And just, I remember, this must be about 2015. I was walking to meet a friend and I was hungover. Like, it was absolutely awful. I felt physically awful, mentally was really down. And I remember standing at the road waiting to cross. And I remember thinking, you know, if I just walk out in front of that bus, it'll all be over. And then I was like, God, that is such a dark thought. And it's just because I was hungover. Like, it wasn't anything to do with my life. Generally pretty happy with life, but it's just having that kind of gnawing in my skull of feeling awful from the booze. You know, it's absolutely awful. And I've not drunk for, you know, nearly 400 days. I've not had a single bout of anxiety. Generally feel good about life.
Mm. It's interesting. We talk on the Premium podcast this week about being conscious in your decision making. I read this article, basically. I found it really interesting. But they're talking about how the quote was, alcohol consumption is often about fulfilling learned behaviours, and that most people don't reflect on whether it's a positive or negative thing for them. And that's what I'm getting from what you're saying, is that you went from, you know, growing up in Liverpool to uni into education and the culture there. You don't actually think about, do I want to do this or not? Like, do I want to go out and get hammered? It's just it's part of the process. It's part of being part of the pack. And actually, when you take that moment, those kind of moments of self-reflection, isn't it? You know, to kind of go, right, actually, is this serving me? Is this a good thing? Do I actually do I want to do this, or do I just do this because?
Yeah, you just don't question it. Like, it's like that saying, like a fish doesn't know it's in water. And when you're drinking, you're going out every weekend, or you have a few pints at the pub on a Sunday afternoon, if everyone else is doing it, why would you question it? And I think it's only when things happen, or you have, it doesn't necessarily need to be certain events. It can just be a general dissatisfaction. Like, I think that's what I found was, I don't think I was living life to the fullest that I could when I was going out drinking every weekend. And I'm not saying, you know, my life's not all singing, all dancing, and, you know, I'm just a normal person, but I feel like my life is my own now, and I can do things that I want to do rather than just having a smaller life, I suppose.
But you've got to notice it, haven't you? You've got to notice it, because it's so easy to not. It's so easy to just keep doing the same things, keep doing the same things that everyone else does. You've got to notice it. You've got to be able to have that moment where you go, right. Like, I remember having a word with myself going, come on, you know this. You just got to do it. You got to do it now. Even if it's just for 3 months, come on.
Yeah. And I did do a few stints of not drinking over the years. And, you know, I must have Googled, am I an alcoholic, or do I have an alcohol problem, dozens of times. But you'd have to have a word with yourself at some point and just kind of grow up a little bit. Like, I think when you're in your early 20s, you do have a bit more resilience and your life isn't as responsible, I suppose. But, you know, pushing 40, I'm just like, God, I need to knock this on the head and grow up a bit.
Yeah. And Chaz, I will let you talk in a minute, promise. I was having a conversation with someone this week, and, you know, as you get further into this, I think that kind of self-reflection, you get better at it. And I was giving a bit of advice, and I was saying, you know, you can't pick and choose the bits you like from each life. You know, I really like this bit of alcohol-free life, and I really like that bit of alcohol-free life, but I really like this bit of drinking culture, and I like that bit of drinking culture. Like, for me, I had to choose one. Yeah. I had to either be a drinker or be alcohol-free. Yeah. I couldn't pick the bits, because it doesn't work like that, does it? You know,
no.
I'm looking forward to hearing about your five C's, by the way. Is it because you're in education that you wanted to present your five C's of sobriety today?
I feel like I should have brought a PowerPoint or something like that just to show.
Ben,
like,
would have loved that, Mikey. You know, he'd have loved it.
Totally. I'll give you a differentiated worksheet quiz after this.
Please don't.
We'll come back to the five C's, because you teased us in your emails. And if you like, I can talk to you about my five C's of sobriety. God, but you didn't tell us what they were, which is very clever.
It's such a wanky thing to do. Like,
that's why we're here for it. It's what we're about.
Honestly. So I was just kind of, I did my 1 year post, which I think is a bit of a tradition now in OTI on the forum. Like, when you reach a milestone, you want to celebrate it, and people jump in and comment on it. And it's such a lovely, lovely thing to do. I mean, not to blow smoke up his ass too much, but obviously Niall is a bit of a wordsmith, and his posts are legendary. So I was kind of inspired by his. And I just came up with these like random things that I think sobriety has brought me. And the first three all began with a C, and I was like, ooh, I'm onto something here. What else can we do that begins with C?
As long as the fifth one isn't crap, because that sort of goes against what we're about, you know?
Yeah. It's not cider. Anyway, so the five C's, so they are calm, clarity, courage, consistency, and connection.
Right, hang on. Give us that list again. Me and Ben are both making notes now. Yeah. So calm,
clarity, courage, consistency, and connection.
Oh.
And they all kind of like flow into each other as well. It's not like a list of you get this, then you get this, then you get this. They all kind of happen at the same time. And although they are kind of the results of going alcohol-free, they also keep you alcohol-free. Anyway, I'm overthinking a little bit. You know, sending my post on the forum, I think the most important one is the calm aspect of it. Like, when I was drinking, my mind was just always churned up, and I'd have all these intrusive thoughts, and I was always a bit anxious and a little bit stressed and worried about what I'd said, what I'd done, who I'd texted, how much money I'd spent, like all these things. Oh, I'm going out on Friday. I reckon I can have probably a half a bottle of wine there. And then all these, it's just nonstop. And now, it's just calm. obviously I'm a teacher, and there's a kind of analogy that I came up with a while back. So in science experiments, we fill a jar of water with soil and stones and things, and you shake it up and it's really muddy and you can't see through it, and you leave it to settle, and gradually the soil and the stones kind of form a sediment and just settle down, and you get clear water again. And I feel like that's what going alcohol-free has done for my mind, in that it's just kind of settled. And there's still issues there that I want to deal with. And, you know, my life's not perfect, but I've got that clear water that I know is always there. And I think if I was to ever start drinking again, it'd just be like shaking up that jar of water, making it all muddy again. So why would I do that? Can tell my teacher.
I love that. I remember you sharing that analogy on one of my Zoom calls about the jar. It's absolutely fantastic.
I'm definitely going to look back at my notes one day for OTR and go, what's sediment brain? Sediment brain. I remember it, Mike. I think your clear water is better. So, yeah, clear water. Are we going to go through the list? Are we going to clarity next?
Can we jump? I mean, we can if you want to. I'll go wherever you want to go.
You know what? I'm one of those instant gratification type people. May have been why my cucumber became pickled in the first place when it comes to alcohol. But I'm really interested in courage.
Okay.
Can we talk courage?
So I think this is an interesting one. So over the course of the year, I realized that, all right, I've got all this time, because, you know, when you go alcohol free, they say you gain an extra day at the weekend because you've got so much time to do stuff. And I was like, okay, so what am I going to do with all my time? And I've never really thought of myself as a courageous sort of person. You know, I don't get in fights. I'm really risk averse, and I don't like confrontational conversations. But certain things kind of cropped up, and I was like, well, I can leave it or I can take the plunge and go for it. So for example, I did a few marathons over last year. I did my first one in October 23. So while I was kind of still drinking, but definitely on the way out, did an okay time. And then I thought, you know what, I can beat this. So I signed up for another one and another one and another one. You know, a promotion opportunity came up at work. And that's happened over the years, where something's come up and I've thought, oh no, I can't do that. I'm not good enough, or I'm not qualified enough, or I don't have the skills. And I put myself forward for it, and I got it, and I love it. You know, having a conversation with one of my friends who I developed feelings for, and we were watching TV, and I was like, do you know what? I just have to tell him. So not in any dramatic fashion at all, but I just pressed pause and I was like, can we have a chat? You know, it didn't turn out the way I wanted it to, but at least I put myself out there and risked rejection or whatever. So I'm kind of proud of those moments, even though, you know, it didn't necessarily amount to anything. I think just being able to have that courage to just go for it, and yeah.
This is brilliant, and we will get back.
I think I'm just rambling.
No, you're not. You're absolutely not. On your list, calm, clarity. So we've talked about the calm, clarity, courage, which you've just touched on there. Mm-hmm. Connection, consistency. There's one on that list that I'm going to add to it, because I have seen it change in bucketfuls since we first met.
I know what it is.
And it begins with a C, and it's your number six that you've missed off that list, and it's confidence. And so it sort of overlaps, I guess, with the courage. But in terms of your confidence, and I hope you don't mind me saying this, because it's me making personal observations and it's not my place to do so.
So Auntie Shaz getting all proud.
I'm getting very proud. So I'm going to use this now. And this is my weird Auntie Shaz moment. I've seen you talk about, you know, changes in your career, your art that we've not even talked about yet. You are so talented. You're running.
Oh, thanks very much.
The confidence has grown in that, the confidence in your art. And the other thing, and Ben, you may or may not have seen these pictures, but I'm going to go there. You're like a model. Mikey, you had these, like gym shoot, this gym photo shoot done, these before and afters. And I was like, hang on a minute. And that's Mikey. That's our Mikey from the community. And I was like, that takes balls of steel, excuse the pun, to do what you did. And Mikey, that's all to do with...
What's the pun?
It doesn't matter. We'll move on. It's all to... They were very small trunks that Mikey was wearing at the time.
Uh-huh.
They were very, very small. Mm-hmm. And that's all to...
There's a few pictures without any trunks as well.
Oh, you didn't share those.
I didn't share those.
It's not that kind of community. I'll turn it up in your MDs on a Saturday morning. And,
these were on Insta. These were on his Instagram. And everything I've just mentioned there, it's all come from this growth in confidence that, you know, we have seen in the community since you joined us 18 months ago. And that is to be celebrated. Another
thing. Thanks very much.
There you go.
Yeah. Do you know what? I would agree. I think I've told myself these stories over the years about how I look and who I am and stuff. And I've generally felt not good enough in so many ways. Like, I used to be overweight, not happy with the way I looked. And then I decided to do something about it and I got a PT, fortunate enough to do that. Just looked after my diet, running quite a lot as well, going to the gym. And then one of my friends is a photographer and he suggested I do a photo shoot. And I was like, do you know what? Yeah, okay. And it was brilliant, honestly, so liberating and so, confidence building. But those, I've done art for years on and off. And I've never felt confident enough to publish things, but started doing that now as well. But like, I didn't really have a plan to do things. I didn't plan to do a marathon. I didn't plan to do a photo shoot. I didn't plan to go up a mountain last April with OTR. I didn't plan any of those things. It just kind of happened. And I just said yes to them rather than coming up with reasons why I shouldn't do it, I suppose. But yeah, I'm glad you like the ab pictures. Although I feel like I'm mentioning Niall quite a lot. He's definitely got the best abs out of the two of us.
Have you had an
he's
ab?
He's got abs on his abs.
He's got abs. He's got abs for days, honestly. Yeah, and he's in his 40s. He's much older than me. He's in his 40s. So for
he's
an old man,
he's
looking pretty
good. He's got
good.
Calf abs. He's got abs. He's abs
and
everywhere.
And if you're wondering who we're talking about, go back and listen to Niall's episode because it's a cracker. It's another good one.
And he is listening to all of this,
he's
by
cringing.
The way.
He's got his head in his hands.
As part of your membership to Over the Influence, you get to watch the podcast recordings live and Niall is there listening to every word. Where does it come from then, Mikey, courage, when you go alcohol-free? Because all you're doing is stopping drinking something. You know, that's it, isn't it?
And everybody says, sorry to interrupt, but to add to that, Ben, everybody says, oh, I need a bit of Dutch courage. I'm drinking this for a bit of courage.
Yes, yeah, very good.
You take that
point.
Away, you'll find out what real courage is. So sorry to interrupt there, Mikey.
So I think courage is feeling your feelings, wherever they are, and acting either in spite of them or because of them, I suppose. So it depends on the situation. You know, I think when you're afraid of rejection or afraid of falling off the top of a mountain, shall we say, you know, anything like that, acknowledging your fear, acknowledging your thoughts about it, and just thinking, I'm just going to do it anyway. I'm just going to feel the feels, do it, see what happens. And if you're drinking for courage, you'll never learn to do that because you're relying on something else to give you a false sense of courage and a false sense of confidence. And, you know, to strip off in front of someone and let them take pictures of you naked. Oh, like, I'd never have done that years ago. But I found it quite fun, actually.
And you know what, Mikey? When you look at those pictures and when you look at your artwork and when you go back and compare your times for the running, how does that make you feel now?
It's a good question. I do feel a sense of pride, but also I'm like, okay, so what next? What am I going to do now? Because I've kind of done those and I want to explore lots of different things. Like one of my problems is that I'm interested in everything. I want to do everything. I want to be an artist. I want to be a writer. I want to do all these sort of things. So my problem is kind of narrowing it down and deciding what to do. Each year, I started this a few years ago, I choose kind of a word for the year. As like, I don't do a New Year's resolution, but I'll choose a word that I kind of go back to. And this year's word is proactive, to kind of don't put things off, just do it. And I've always wanted to do martial art. I've always wanted to be able to carry myself. You know, I've never been in a fight. But if it happened, I wouldn't know what to do. So I thought, you know what, I'm just going to go for something. I started doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu classes at my gym, and I absolutely love it. I mean, the fact that I'm just wrestling attractive men on the floor is, you know, neither here nor there. But it's a really fun thing that I never would have done.
Just asking for a friend.
And why are you naked, Mikey? Sorry,
I know.
No, you're confusing.
Got the wrong day.
Confusing the two,
why is there a bottle of baby oil there as well? But, you know, just things like, just because I've got all this time to do stuff. I just think, okay, it's only an hour on a Wednesday afternoon. Like, I'll just go and do it.
And your world's big. Because you said earlier that alcohol made your world smaller, was the phrase you used.
Yeah, it does.
So now you've got this big world to go and tackle and, you know, try stuff out.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you've only got one life. I don't want to be on my deathbed, hopefully, you know, in my 80s, 90s, and think, God, I wish I'd done more stuff. And I look back in my 20s, and, you know, I did achieve some things in my 20s, but I look back at it and think, God, what a waste. And I was probably at my peak of, you know, fitness and all this sort of stuff back then. Well, actually, probably not now. But, you know, I could have been, like, all that wasted potential in my 20s. I'm making up for it now, I think, you know, working on myself. But I just look back and think, God, you wasted so much time and money just pissing it all away.
What changed? And how did it click for you? Because, you know, we've mentioned the fact that you joined us about 18 months ago, and it wasn't, you know, right, I'm joining the community and now I'm going to stop drinking and, oh, wow, this is easy. Because it wasn't, was it? It took a couple of run-ups at this for it to finally stick. What happened?
So, yeah, I did do a few kind of blips, shall we say, and it was on my brother's stag do, and I was like, you know, I just joined OTI, and I remember talking about it with you, saying, oh, I've got my brother's stag do in a couple of weeks. I don't want to drink, don't want to drink. I ended up drinking because I kind of caved to the peer pressure of it all. And then I was brilliant. I was really back on it. And then I drank at his wedding and then at Christmas. And I was like, what really clicked was on, I think it was 29th of December, 23. I woke up in Liverpool. I was there for Christmas. And I was so hungover, and I took a video of myself describing what I felt like. And I looked at that and I was like, God, I never want to feel like that ever again. And I haven't. And I think even though I've got that kind of negative to reflect on, being alcohol-free has just brought so much more positive things to my life that I didn't expect to have. Why would I throw all that away? Like, you know, every part of my life has gotten better. Maybe not my love life, but, you know, work in progress. But every other part of my life, my career, my friendships, finances, although probably not as healthy as I'd like them to be, fitness, all these things have just kind of exploded. And it's all because of just giving up one thing. I think what clicked for me was looking forward to those Saturday morning Zooms, seeing the familiar faces, getting to know people. And that's honestly one of the best parts of my week. I get up, have a coffee, put on Zoom, then go for a run. And it's just a lovely way to start the weekend. You know, it's not easy, but it's just worthwhile. And I don't think anything worthwhile is easy.
You know, if ever we have doubts about what we do at OTI, you know, if ever we ever get, I don't know, somebody saying something negative or whatever. And we do take it personally. Oh, sorry, no. I take it personally.
Yeah, you take
I take it personally because this is, it's done from the heart. And, you know, if you take up.
And I have no heart.
Yeah, Ben's heart is
what we've decided.
You've just got a swinging brick there. Ben, rather.
Yeah, I'm the cold, callous one that says, pull yourself together.
He's not. But if ever...
Yeah. I was pretending to be tough in front of you, Shaz. I go, I can't believe I said that mean thing about our podcast. Jem!
We get one bad review a year. We're like, Ben, I think we need to stop. I can't do this anymore. And it's ridiculous. I'm so over the top. But when, you know, we hear feedback... And we see this progression and we see lives change. And you've said that that 7 a.m. Zoom, you know, it really helped. And it could be whatever Zoom for whatever member as part of the community. And I just, all of a sudden, my cup, the doth overflow once again with all things, I don't know, just positive. And it's so worthwhile. It's so worthwhile. And for you to talk about, you know, your confidence growing and your courage, finding it and all the rest of it. It's incredible. It's really interesting what you said, Mikey. Ben, you might have picked up on this. Those occasions where you struggled, you know, you're talking about the stag party and then the wedding and then Christmas. These are big social events, aren't they? And as Ben was saying, you know, earlier on in the episode, it's the conditioning. It's a sort of assumption that, oh God, and it's, you know, we get it. It can sometimes be easier to go, right, fine, I'll worry about this a little bit further down the road. But you will get there. You can do it.
Yeah.
And when you do that first wedding alcohol-free, when you do your first stag or hen, whatever, sober, they're different, yeah, but the point I'm trying to make in a really pathetic, long-winded way is that, okay, you might trip and stumble along the way, but you will get there. And when you do, it's life-changing.
Do you know what? I've just had my first... proper alcohol-free Christmas, and it was the best Christmas I've had. And normally I'd go out with my sister, a few of her mates on Christmas Eve, get absolutely smashed, and then be hungover all day Christmas Day. Obviously I wasn't drinking, and I stayed at my brother's, and he's got two little girls, and they share a bedroom, they've got bunk beds, and said, oh, Uncle Mikey, can you sleep in our room on Christmas Eve? So I was like, yeah, so I got on the bottom bunk, they share the top bunk. And waking up with two kids excited for Father Christmas, and I was completely present for it. Well, at 3 a.m, he hadn't been at 4 a.m.
Mikey
or
was
half
less
five.
Excited at this point.
Yeah. Didn't get much sleep. But when they finally got up and opened the presents, just that look on their face, I was completely present for it. Like, I've never had that before. It was just beautiful. And I'll always remember that. And that's worth, oh my God, that's worth 20, 30, 40 nights out. You know, you can't put a price on it.
Because, yeah, there will be Christmases again. There will be stag do's. There will be weddings. So what's changed then in your approach to them now?
So a few things. So just being honest with people that I'm not going to be drinking and give them tons of warning.
Having the courage
to do that and say, oh, I'm not drinking. Or even just like, you know, I've been to parties in the past where there's new people that I don't know. And just having kind of clear boundaries with them. So I was at a friend's birthday a couple months ago, and a new guy I'd never met before just kept pushing champagne on me. And I was like, I don't want a glass of champagne. I'm fine. I've got my AFB. I don't even know what it was. And just saying, actually, mate, I don't want one. Like, rather than saying, oh, okay, just to save face, just not really caring about what people think too much. Like, I'll always care what people think, but just having enough self-respect to stick to my guns and say, actually, it's not for me. Just in the same way, if he asked me, you know, do you want to smoke or do you want to do, you know, whatever? Just saying no, having that clarity, I suppose.
Amazing. Only a bit life-changing then, Mikey. That's what we're saying.
Just a little bit.
And, you know, do you, going back to Liverpool, because I'm here, I know exactly what it's like. It's great fun. Great fun place.
You know,
the people here, they, I need to get this right way around. They work to live, not live to work.
Yeah.
I love that about Scousers. Yeah. You know, live for the weekend.
Yeah.
Do you find coming back here and kind of coming back to that environment, do you have moments where, you know, you're not in the bottom bunk and you're out and about in town, the old stomping ground? Like, do you have those kind of like moments of, you know, memories coming back at that time, or is that, are you kind of so past it?
Sometimes I get a little bit nostalgic and think, oh, you know what, I was really carefree back then, but I would never go back to it. Like, why would I want to? You know, I think you can have happy memories of nights out or drinking or whatever and detach yourself from wanting to repeat that. You know, that was a time and place in my life that I don't want to go back to. And I'm happy for the friendships I made on nights out. You know, some of my best mates I met on a night out. And that wouldn't have happened if I wasn't drinking. But I'm separating those experiences from drinking now. Like, if I started drinking again now, I wouldn't reclaim my 20s, or it's just not for me anymore. So I look back on it with a bit of, is it wistful the right word? A bit of nostalgia, but glad I'm in this position now. I wouldn't want to go back.
Would you say that you're more or less carefree now? I'm just thinking it could be another C to add to the ever-growing list. You know, I went on this bloody podcast and I came out with 27 C's.
Yeah.
Only one in five.
I think the people watching this have got a C word for me.
cool guy.
Yeah, cool. We'll go with that one. I would say I'm more carefree now. I'm a lot more comfortable. There's another C.
Ooh.
In my...
Ben, oh, write God. It down.
A lot more comfortable in my skin now. So I'll just do things without even like thinking about whether, I don't know. So like, you know, going to a jiu-jitsu class, didn't know a single person there. Didn't know what I was doing, but just cracked on with it. When I went to Snowdon last year with OTI, didn't know anyone, never met anyone. You know, I was texting a few people because they were picking me up or whatever from the station. But I thought, you know what, why not go and climb a mountain with strangers in Wales for a weekend? Like, I think I'm more carefree now in a positive way. And I think when I was drinking, I was reckless, which I think is the difference between being carefree and being reckless, I would say.
I'm really sorry. I didn't tell him, Shaz.
Go on.
And you know my producer spiel at the beginning where I say, like, you know, it's pre-recorded and... You know, we're all friends. It's a conversation, not an interview. And you know that bit I do at the beginning before we start
the boring
recording.
Bit, yeah.
I didn't tell Mikey not to mention Snowdon, where we went to Snowdon. We woke up and we saw the Northern Lights on the way up, and then we got to the top in time for a beautiful sunrise. There was no clouds. We literally saw across what felt like the entire of Wales on that trip that you weren't at.
Yeah. And I'll never.
We're not allowed to talk about Snowdon.
No,
not allowed.
Mikey.
Because the day you did Snowdon, so, I was coming round from an actual general anaesthetic, and I thought the next person that sends me a photo of the Northern Lights.
A bloody sunrise. You actually saw it. It wasn't misty. Oh, bugger.
I was
raging. You bastard.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not allowed to talk about how it was one of the most beautiful experiences in our lives.
No,
of our lives.
This connection was forged that is unlike any other. We're not allowed
don't
to talk about that.
Don't care for your weekend away. I'm not bothered.
But everything else you said was lovely, Mikey. Shaz, I've just looked at the recording. I've realised how... I can't help it. I love speaking to Mikey, and I chewed his ear off on the way up Snowdon as well, and probably most of the way back down. So, Chaz,
lovely.
We haven't got loads of time left. What do you need to ask Mikey before
okay,
we go?
Okay, I think, so we've had consistency, courage, confidence, clarity, calm, comfortable, carefree, cracking on, climbing. We've got climbing in there as well. The one thing we've not talked about and that I would like to end on, because I think it's really appropriate. Your mate Niall's on this call. It's at the heart of what we do, and you've touched on this a lot through the episode, is connection. Talk to us about that. We've got about 5 minutes left.
Yeah, so obviously being part of a community.
See, community, put that down.
Oh, Jesus.
I wish
I never started with the five C's now.
Connection / community. I think
the 25 C's. Yeah, I think, you know, I met Niall at the very top of Snowdon, and we just started talking about music. Not even sure how we got onto the topic, really. And we just spent like 3 hours chatting about it. And then Niall messaged me saying, oh, do you want to start a Zoom, an OTI Zoom about the album of the month? And I was like, yeah, why not? Sounds great. And having that connection with, you know, Niall specifically, others, you know, Peter, Leon, I've got a few mates, Eamon, Sue, we met up and had, we did a 5K a couple of months ago, met in London Sunday morning, you know, 5K and a pastry. Just these moments of connection with people that know what you've been through, know what you're going through, and want you to succeed is just lovely, just wonderful. You know, I've started my own Zoom on a Sunday morning now to do with like mindfulness, meditation and things. And that's for forging connection in a different way, which has been lovely. And I think friendship with like-minded people is just what it's all about, really, isn't it?
Side note, Shaz, you saying 5K in a pastry then has reminded me that we need to organise our cake crawl.
Yes, we do, actually. For this year. Put that down, put it on your notes.
Yes, we do. We've got Admin Ange on the call as well, so I'm sure that she'll be writing that down.
5K crawl with coffee.
Well, I just thought, how much more appealing does that sound? Like, you know, when you see, like, come and run a 5K, if it was like, come and run a 5K and then have a pastry and it was on the poster, it would definitely make it more appealing. But our cake crawl, it's like a bar crawl, but with cake, because obviously we don't drink anymore. It's that simple.
Really,
do you know what? So I'm obviously like a bit of a runner now, and me and my running mates, the secret is you've always got a pastry to look forward to at the end of every single run, without fail. You're always looking forward to the treat at the end.
Don't look in the chat, Mikey. Angie's put her five C's, her five C's in the chat box. Cake, 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 cake. Love that, Angie.
We're all about the cake here at Over the Influence. We can sort of support your alcohol-free journey, but when it comes to sugar, cake and caffeine, we're just all about the C's today.
We're all lost causes.
Oh,
my God.
We're all lost causes. Mikey, we're just about out of time. I'm going to ask you a really corny question to finish off with. If you could summarise your AF journey to date, more than a year alcohol-free, just about to hit 400 days, what would you say?
I would say that I feel like a completely different person than I was over a year ago now, in so many amazing ways. You know, I love myself a little bit more. My life is so much more consistent, and I show up for things, I show up for people a lot more. I'm a lot less selfish. Every part of my life has just got better, so why would I go back to that? You know, just by giving up one thing, I've gained so much.
Mikey from London, I could listen to you all day. We are out of time. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us on Over the Influence.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's been lovely.